Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Get an appointment today by calling 901-850-5756. You can do it online at LindermanSportsMedicine.com.
If I'm not commuting anymore, where do I really want to live?
While you handle life's questions, Merrill Guided Investing helps you manage your portfolio and invest for your next move. With the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/investing goals to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
Good morning, privates!
Good morning, Drill Sergeant!
I mean, seriously, what a pleasant morning. The sun is shining and the birds are chirping.
You seem to be in a good mood today.
Astute observation.
He's probably happy because he found out Honey Nut Cheerios can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet.
They're even shaped like hearts. So, in lieu of the obstacle course today, I propose a nice meditative nature walk. Does that sound delightful to everyone?
Yes, Drill Sergeant!
Happy Heart Shapes are back for a limited time. Learn more about Honey Nut Cheerios by picking up a box at your local store.
This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about Stack's Pancake Kitchen for years. Now I'm doing it again and letting you know that Stack's is now open for dine-in, curbside pickup, and delivery. So you know where to go. If you want a great meal, especially a great breakfast, everything is terrific. But if you're looking for my favorite item on the menu, it's the now-famous Stack's Breakfast Burger. Go get it. You'll love it. Then you'll get it again. Stack's has two locations. One is at 4615 Poplar in East Memphis. The other, 7704 Poplar in Germantown. You can check the menu online at stackspancakes.com. That's Stack's Pancake Kitchen, coming soon to South Haven.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
Gary Parrish speaking to you from Hernando, Mississippi. No, I'm not trying to drive in this stuff. Bennett Doyle's producing a program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Well, Daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and wendrings.
And I hope you took my advice last night and spent a few minutes watching Houston-Wichita State. It was an AAC showdown. First place in the league on the line and lived up to expectations. Fun game. Wichita State upsets Houston. So now the Shockers are alone atop the AAC standings, and it's a really interesting situation developing with the interim coach, Isaac Brown. Trust me when I tell you, when Greg Marshall was forced to resign and Isaac Brown was named the interim coach, there is nobody on the planet, probably including Isaac Brown, who thought Isaac Brown was going to be the next full-time head coach at Wichita State. And he might not be, but he is making a compelling case for himself, and you can reasonably argue that no coach in America, not Mark Few, not Scott Drew, nobody has more riding on how the rest of this season unfolds than Isaac Brown at Wichita State. I'll explain momentarily. First, so quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. Dan Wolkin's going to join me in the next segment right around 4:20. He's a national columnist, USA Today. I'll talk to him about a number of things, including Naomi Osaka, beating Serena Williams earlier this week, playing for the Australian Open singles title tomorrow. What does it mean for Serena's future? I'll ask Dan Wolkin in the next segment. We'll also talk about the NBA All-Star Game continuing to be a controversial event among players and former players. Dan Wolkin will be here right around 4:20. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the Grizzlies are back inside FedEx Forum tonight. Pistons are in town. We'll talk about it right around 4:44. The NCAA announced today that there will be fans, up to 25% capacity for the NCAA tournament. Every venue, every game. Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? We'll talk about it a little later on this hour. Hall of Fame coach Jim Boeheim ripped former Duke Blue Devil Jalen Johnson, said that the Duke is actually better without the five-star projected lottery pick. He might be right, but this is the second year in a row Jim Boeheim has ripped a player who has nothing to do with his school for leaving the school where he was at. So there's a pattern developing. I'll tell you more about it just before 5 o'clock, and it is now official. Kim Kardashian has filed for divorce from Kanye West. Unsurprising, but still a big headline. Spent a couple of minutes on that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cock is just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with Wichita State because we got quite the story developing in the American Athletic Conference. I talked about it a little bit yesterday. Honestly, didn't plan on talking about it again today, but it's such a cool story that I did want to spend just a few minutes on it. As you know, Wichita State was a big story in the preseason because Greg Marshall was forced to resign. Then assistant Isaac Brown, he was named the interim coach. And unless you really follow college basketball or really are a fan of Wichita State, you've probably never heard of Isaac Brown before. Then the Shockers were picked 7th in the preseason AAC poll. And I didn't figure, honestly, that I'd think about Wichita State too much again until they hired a full-time replacement for Greg Marshall. And I did not think the full-time replacement would be Isaac Brown. But a lot of wild things have happened since the preseason. And it all finally hit the national radar last night when Wichita State upset number 6 Houston on national television. The final score was 68-63. It was a wild final few minutes. And the result of it is that the Shockers are now 13-4 overall, 9-2 in the AAC. They're alone atop the AAC standings. They've won 5 straight games since losing to Memphis back on January 21st. They have a resume right now worthy of an NCAA tournament at-large bid, at least in my opinion. Now, you're going to see them in the brackets today if you go look, because they are projected as the automatic bid from the AAC, because all projected brackets just take the first place team and make them the automatic bid. While recognizing it doesn't always work out that way, in fact, it never completely works out that way, but that's the best way to project the bracket. So you'll see Wichita State in every bracket right now. The question becomes, would Wichita State be worthy of an at-large bid? And reasonable people can disagree on that, but I would make the case that they should. They're 2-2 after last night's win in quadrant 1, 2-2 in quadrant 2. So they're 4-4 in the first two quadrants and 9-0 outside of the first two quadrants. In other words, 4-4 in the first two quadrants, they've taken no losses outside of that. You know, that is comparable to teams that I have in the bottom end of the top 25-1. You know, being 500 in the first two quadrants is about what most of those teams in the 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28 range are. And if you have no bad losses, specifically no losses outside of the first two quadrants, again, that's like the type of stuff that gets on my radar as I'm looking for teams in the top 25-1. The problem is that they've got really poor computer numbers. Resume solid, computer numbers not great. 71st at KenPom, 68th in the net, 100th at BPI, 66th in Sagarin, 34th in KPI, but largely bad computer numbers. So if you want to be dismissive of them or discount them a bit, you can point to the computers. Yeah, the resume's okay, but they really only got one big win. It's that Houston win. The other quad one win, by the way, is a win over Ole Miss. Ole Miss isn't a definite tournament team. So it really only got one win over a surefire, definite NCAA tournament team. They got poor computer numbers. If you want to dismiss them a little bit, that's where you start. So I'd put them in. Others might not. Ultimately, it'll play out over the next few weeks. But honestly, that's not why this is interesting. You know, like, yes, Wichita State is overachieving and they might make the NCAA tournament. Great story, but like lots of teams that were not supposed to make the NCAA tournament are overachieving and now might make the NCAA tournament. So, like, who cares? What makes this interesting? It's not that. It's Isaac Brown. It's the interim tag on his name. Because, like I said at the top, I think you can reasonably suggest that no coach in America has more at stake from this point through the end of this season than Isaac Brown at Wichita State. Now, I know some of you are probably going, well, what about Mark Few at Gonzaga? He's got the best team in the country. It's a historically great team. They won again last night by 50 million points, undefeated. Could become a national champion for the first time in school history. Could be the first undefeated national champion since 1976 Indiana. How has he got more at stake than Isaac Brown? Because Isaac Brown might make the NCAA tournament, but nobody thinks Wichita State winning the NCAA tournament. And to that I would say, I hear you, but no matter how this season ends for Mark Few, he's going to wake up the day after it ends, and he's going to have a bazillion-dollar contract, incredible job security, and more or less the same life he has right now. Same thing for Scott Drew. Same thing for Juwan Howard. Same thing for Chris Holtman. Same thing for Brad Underwood. The top five teams in the country right now are all coached by men who are chasing their first national titles. I suspect one of them will get it. I acknowledge the stakes are high. You're not in this position too often for most people. But they all got multi-million-dollar contracts. Whether they lose in the first round or don't lose at all, they all going to wake up the morning after, and they either will or will not be a Final Four coach or will not be a national championship coach, but their life won't change that drastically. The resume will, the reputation will, but their life won't change that drastically. Now we're talking about Isaac Brown. This is a man who was a completely no-name assistant coach 4 months ago. I'm being completely honest. If you would have come to me last June and just said, GP, Isaac Brown, who is that? I'd have been like, let me think on it for a second. Now, I have met Isaac. If you would have said the Wichita State assistant, I would have said, oh, yeah. My point is, if you'd have just said the name Isaac Brown, it would not have immediately clicked. He's never been considered like this, going to be the next great head coach from the Greg Marshall coaching tree. There were some people, if I'm being honest, who like scoffed at the idea that he was going to be the interim coach in this season after Greg Marshall was forced to resign. That's who he is. Right now, he's coaching for his career. If this thing goes well, he could get the job full-time, which means, you know, they were paying Greg Marshall $3 million a year. They're not going to pay Isaac Brown that. But let's just say they pay the going rate for a coach at a place like Wichita State, not named Greg Marshall. What if they give him 5 years, $1.5 million a year? $7.5 million contract. This guy right now is coaching to try to become the head coach at Wichita State. It's like you got 2 weeks left in the regular season, week of conference tournaments, then the NCAA tournament. We're talking about a six-week audition. Over the next 6 weeks, you're coaching for your career. Think about this. Next month, not next year, next month, Isaac Brown could, A, sign a five-year, $7.5 million guaranteed contract, or B, be unemployed and looking for an assistant coach's job somewhere. Who has more on the line than that? Now, there are coaches out there who may or may not get fired, but like they've already made their millions if they've been head coaches. This is a career assistant. If it goes well, multimillionaire next month. If it doesn't, unemployed next month. Think about that. It reminds me of the Chris Holtman situation a few years ago at Butler. Chris Holtman, of course, is now the head coach at Ohio State. But before that, he was the head coach at Butler, and before that, he was an assistant coach at Butler, working for a guy named Brandon Miller. And he was just an assistant coach at Butler. That's it. That's all he was. And then just before the start of the 2014-15 season, Brandon Miller resigns, steps away from the program for reasons you can Google. They promote Chris Holtman on an interim basis. Now, he wasn't inheriting one of these great Butler teams. He was inheriting a team a lot like this Wichita State team. Wasn't picked to finish very high in the Big East. Wasn't picked to make the NCAA tournament. And so here's Chris Holtmann, and here's what he knows. Okay, I just got this team. Games start in 2 weeks. If I do well with this, I might be the next head coach of Butler and get a multi-million dollar contract. If I don't, I might be looking for a job in a few months. And more than that, if I don't, everybody who works here with me right now might be looking for a job in a few months. I remember talking to Chris after he went 23-11, finished 12-6 in the Big East, tied for second, went to the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament. He got the job. But I remember talking to him after he got the job, and he said, it's the most intense pressure I've ever been on under as a in my career, in my professional life. And I said, expand on that. He said, imagine you've been handed something, and it's not supposed to be good, but it's your job to make it good. And if you make it good, you're set up. Your family's going to have financial security. You don't have to move again. And everybody who works with you, this person's family, this person's family, this person's family, they're all going to have financial security. They don't have to move again. If I don't do this job well, and the odds are stacked against me, we're all unemployed in March. We don't know where our next jobs are. We don't know where our next homes are. We don't know that we'll get a next job. So I wasn't just fighting for my life. I'm fighting for my assistant's life, the other assistant's life, my Dobo's life, my trainer's life. All of our lives can either be enhanced greatly by what I do with this team or completely ripped apart and laced with uncertainty depending on what I do with this team. He said, I was sick every night, sick every night. So he gets the job full time. Then takes Butler to the tournament again, takes Butler to the tournament again. Now he's the Ohio State coach, making like $3-something million per year. But if he didn't do it well in that first season at Butler, he never gets the Butler job, and then he never gets the Ohio State job. His life was determined in that one season when he's an interim coach. Isaac Brown is in the exact same situation right now. If he does this well, he'll be a multimillionaire next month. If he doesn't, he'll be looking for a job next month. So then the question becomes, is it really just a pass or fail situation? Like, if he makes the NCAA tournament, does he get the job? 100%. Somebody asked me that last night. And my answer, as someone who completely respects the job Isaac is doing right now and is actually blown away by the job Isaac is doing right now, I don't think there's any scenario where you should be saying he definitely gets the job if he makes the NCAA tournament, or that he definitely gets the job under any circumstances. I saw some people in my profession last night tweeting that, give him the job, give him the full-time job. Well, that would be real short-sighted if you're Wichita State to give him the full-time job right now. I'm not against them doing it. I'm just saying it would be short-sighted. Think about it like this. This week I've been co-hosting Time to Shine. It's a television show that comes on 5 o'clock CBS Sports Network. And we tape it during the day. And Adam Schein's the host, and he'll be back next week. But he's been away this week, so I've been co-hosting it first 4 days with Evan Washburn and today with Ryan Hollins. And so let's just, for the sake of the conversation, and perhaps it's a poor comparison, but you'll get the point. Adam Schein called our bosses this weekend and said, you know what, I just took the week off, and I really enjoyed not having to do TV every day. I don't need the money anymore. I'm going to step away. And they're like, oh, no, we didn't expect that you weren't going to be there on Monday, but, you know, there's nothing we can do about it now. We still have a television show that has to be done on Monday. So then they come back to me and they say, GP, you know, we don't know what we're going to do, but you're our best option right now, now that we have to have somebody to do this television show. And to be clear, I'm not even saying I'm the best option, just it's a story. They say, GP, you're our best option. We want you to host this show, you know, every day, on an interim basis for an unknown amount of time, maybe 3 or 4 months, and then we'll figure out exactly what we want to do. And I say, sure, I'm down. Sounds like a lot, but I'm down. And I do it. And I do it well. I do it better than people thought I would be able to do it. I did it better than my bosses thought I'd be able to do it. And so then 3 or 4 months later, it's time to, like, find the permanent host for this television show. And they're all sitting around in a office in New York, and they say, you know what, GP, we gave it to him, and I'll be honest, we didn't think he was going to be our full-time host when we allowed him to do it on an interim basis, but he's been better than we thought he'd be, and the ratings are better than we thought they'd be, and, you know, why don't we just give it to GP? And somebody says, yeah, that would make some sense. This has gone well. But I just got a call from Rachel Nichols. And for whatever reason, Rachel Nichols is interested in this job. Well, then you can't hire Gary Parrish. If Rachel Nichols wants the job, she's better at that than I am. At least I think she is. So you just have to hire Rachel Nichols. Because she has now emerged as the best candidate you could possibly hire. And that's the same type of thing that can happen in this basketball situation. It is possible Isaac Brown has done a great job and on some level deserves at least a chance to be the full-time head coach. But if there's a better candidate somewhere, a clearly better candidate somewhere, you don't just give the job to Isaac Brown because he did a good job in this 1 year. I don't want to say anybody could do a good job in 1 year, but sometimes people just have one good year. It's a little bit like Tick Price had to resign right before the season at Memphis many years ago. Johnny Jones is the interim coach. Does a pretty good job. Not as good of a job as Isaac Brown is doing right now at Wichita State, but a pretty good job. There were some people screaming, Johnny Jones deserves the Memphis job. There were people who wanted to hire Johnny Jones, which would have been fine, except John Calipari wanted the job. And when John Calipari wants the job, then like you just can't hire Johnny Jones. Johnny Jones could have taken Memphis to the Sweet 16. If John Calipari wants the job, you still got to give the job to John Calipari. And so that's the situation Wichita State is in right now. It's complicated. Isaac Brown is doing so well that he deserves serious consideration. But ultimately, whether he makes the tournament or not, they're going to have to weigh him as a candidate against whatever outside best candidate exists or emerges. And it can be difficult not to get caught up in the moment, especially if Isaac Brown does march this thing into the NCAA tournament. I'm fascinated by the whole situation. It's one of my favorite stories in college basketball right now. Wichita State, big win last night. And now you got a man who nobody thought was going to be the full-time head coach making a real case to maybe be the full-time head coach of one of the best programs in the AAC and by extension, the entire country. Dan Walken is a national columnist for USA Today. He'll join me next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. You don't feel like you're going to the dentist as much as you feel like you're going to see friends. So if you're looking for a new dentist, look no further than the Smile Center. It's Dr. Mady Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open and treating patients, and needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients, and they're offering Zoom teeth whitening specials with free consultations. So if you're unhappy with your smile, the color of your teeth just isn't quite right, let the Smile Center fix that for you. Appointments are available right now. You can schedule one by calling 901-309-1333. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101, and the phone number is 901-309-1333. That's the Smile Center on the web, smilecentermemphis.com.
The President's Day sales event is going strong at Gossett Kia on Covington Pike. 2021 Kia Forte, $133 a month lease. That's less than $5 a day for a new ride. 2021 Kia Soul, completely redesigned exterior and interior, $149 a month lease. And 2021 Kia K5, just $182 a month lease. All 36 months with $3,149 due at signing, and they all come with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. So let's conquer the cold and gear up for winter in your new Kia from Gossett Kia, 1900 Covington Pike, or online at KiaCovingtonPike.com. Ask for Bobby J. He'll put you in a new Kia today.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
All 36-month leases, $31.49 due at signing, zero security deposit, 10,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, $6.50 acquisition fee, Forte, ME3-19038, MSRP 20,625, Soul, M77-55638, MSRP 20,660, K5, MG00-5560, MSRP 25,725. Include all manufacturer rebates and incentives, PF695, excludes tax title and license. With approved credit, see dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 3-1-21, dealer stock only.
This season's hottest collection is dropping to a dinner table near you. Meet the new Golden Standard, Church's new Texas tenders, accessorized with butterfly shrimp. Snag your Texas tenders and shrimp meal for just $5. Church's bringing it down home. home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. This season's hottest collection is dropping to a dinner table near you. Meet the new Golden Standard, Church's new Texas tenders, accessorized with butterfly shrimp. Snag your Texas tenders and shrimp meal for just $5. Church's, bringing that down home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
I absolutely love my dog, but the constant shedding, not so much. But then I got a Swiffer Sweeper pet kit, and it is amazing. These super thick cloths pick up a crazy amount of hair. Just look at all that. And that was from just one swipe. And the best part? Sweeper's so much easier to maneuver than a broom or a vacuum, easily getting around chairs and under the couch. You're right. Now I can focus on you, not your shedding. Swiffer Sweeper Pet Kit. Because shed happens.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, with 24/7 support and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel teaches you conversations that you will actually use. With 14 languages and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll learn what matters most to you. Babbel. Language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com.
Performance Food Service is now hiring delivery drivers for the Memphis area. $10,000 sign-on bonus, $70,000 starting salary, plus daily incentive pay and quarterly performance bonus. Requires timely delivery of products for multi-drop food service customers, home nights and weekends. Best-in-class benefits package that covers all of your health care needs. Must have high school diploma or a GED, 1 year delivery driver experience, and Class A CDL with 3 years clean MVR. Apply today by clicking on careers at PFGC.com. PFGC.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right?
Grizzlies are back inside FedEx Forum tonight. Pistons are in town. Grizz are 12-12 through 24 games, trying to get above 500. We'll get into it in the next segment. Jeff Cargis will join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, he's a national columnist for USA Today. It's Dan Wolkin making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar, using food and wine to create memorable times.
So I carved out a couple of hours the other night to watch the Australian Open women's semifinal, Naomi Osaka and Serena Williams, and I'm always reminded when I watch tennis, I always enjoy it. I never watch it, but when I do watch it, when I'm drawn to it for whatever reason, I enjoy it. And so I enjoyed it even if I wanted to see Serena win. She did not. Got eliminated in straight sets. And you tweeted something similar to something that I thought, so I'm glad I saw it from your perspective because it confirms my very surface-level understanding of tennis. But the issue for Serena Williams now isn't that she can't beat one of these young, awesome players on any given day. It's that to win another Grand Slam, to get to 24, she's probably going to have to beat three of them in a row. She's going to have to beat three great players who are 15 years younger than her in a row. And that's just, I don't want to say it's impossible, but at this point, I think you would agree it seems improbable.
Yeah, it's almost like Serena has kind of created her own monster because a lot of these players, if not all of them, grew up in the image of Serena Williams. You know, it's part of why they were inspired to play tennis, certainly in the case of Naomi Osaka and plenty of others. And so there was a period where, you know, I think she could go out there on the court and her presence and just being Serena would be worth a big advantage on the court because just intimidation factor and players kind of showing her some deference, but anymore, you know, they come out and they're not afraid of her. You know, they revere her and they like her, but they are not intimidated by her. And so It's very difficult for her to get through all of them. You know, Wimbledon will give her her best chance. That was true before the Australian Open and remains true now. But, you know, how many more? How many more is she going to play? You know, certainly the way she reacted after that match the other night suggests that you know, the end may be coming sooner rather than later.
I thought it was interesting after the match, you know, she said, listen, I could have won. I had too many unforced errors. And I think the number was 24 unforced errors, 12 winners. And, like, she's exactly right. If not for all the unforced errors, she might have, could have won. But isn't that just part of getting old? Like, in any aspect of life, you get to a point where you cannot do the things you used to do. And so, yeah, if you could play without 24 unforced errors, you'd be at a different level. But, like, you're 39 years old, and these are the types of things. Like, let me stop and say this. It's amazing that she's even in this position at 39 years old. That said, at 39 years old, you're going to hit more unforced errors than you used to.
Yeah, like for anyone who plays tennis or maybe if you're just a really big tennis fan, you watch it all the time, like there's a term called the match is on your racket, which means that you are the more powerful player, you've got the better shots, you have the ability to control the points, and the other person kind of needs you to mess it up in order to have a shot to win. And for most of Serena Williams' career, for everybody she played, the match was on her racket. And she was the one dictating. She was the one that if she lost, it was typically because she did not play well. And now when she plays Naomi Osaka, and there's a few others, but mainly Osaka, the match is not on Serena's racket. It's on Osaka's racket. And when she plays her, she needs Naomi to do something wrong, to make mistakes, to be tense, to be nervous, to spray the ball. So she needs help to win that match. And look, tennis is an imperfect sport, and you play somebody 10 times and you have a shot because odds are one of those times, like, they're just not going to play well for whatever reason. And but that's what she needs against Osaka at this point, and she did not get that the other night.
Do we think, and I know you touched on this, but do we actually think like this, she's going to do it this year through 2021, and then that might just be enough is enough?
Yeah, look, part of the problem in the sport of tennis is it's not like the NBA or the NFL where you hit a certain age and you can't do the things athletically that you used to do anymore. You can kind of transition to a different role, or you come off the bench. You're Tom Brady, you go join an awesome team, and you don't have to be the Tom Brady of 15 years ago to win a Super Bowl. You just kind of have to utilize all the talent around you. Tennis doesn't work that way. You're the only one out there. And Serena, having won 23 Grand Slams, like, that's all she's in this for, is to win Grand Slams. You know, getting to the quarterfinals, getting to the semifinals, like, that doesn't really do a lot for her. And it's a hard grind. Like, tennis is hard on the body. You know, you're hopping all over the world for weeks at a time to go play these tournaments. Like, it's a big sacrifice. It's a big commitment. And if you're putting in all of that work and you don't deep down feel like you can actually win, you know, and that you're just going to kind of crap out in the quarterfinals or maybe the semifinals every now and then, for someone like her, historically, it's not worth it. That's why you see players typically retire pretty early or pretty young relative to other sports. And obviously, the age has changed in terms of what are the prime years and the decline years. It's definitely gotten older just because of training and nutrition and sports medicine and all of that. But if she doesn't deep down feel like she can actually win a slam, she's not going to put in the work to do it, and that certainly could be that this is her last year, but we just don't know yet.
Talking to Dan Wolkin from USA Today, let's switch gears. The NBA All-Star Game continues to be a source of controversy. Adam Silver wants to do it because there's television money to be made. The Players Association has agreed to do it. One player after another considers to speak out, continues to speak out against it. It's going to be where you live, in Atlanta. How do people in Atlanta feel about the All-Star Game coming there under these circumstances?
Well, certainly the mayor's not happy about it. The mayor's put out a statement basically saying, don't calm. And that's the biggest problem. It's not the game itself, like the players and all the NBA personnel coming into town. Like, that's not a big deal. They're going to go, you know, stay at the Ritz-Carlton downtown, and they're going to be there and State Farm Arena, and that's about it. The problem is NBA All-Star Weekend is like the big party weekend of the year. And there are people who have no affiliation with the NBA who go to All-Star Weekend and celebrate it like it's a holiday. And they go to bars and clubs and restaurants and strip clubs, and it's great for the local economy when it's not a pandemic. They don't want, or at least people in our city and the mayor, it's not the All-Star game itself. I wouldn't say fear, that's not really the right word, but sort of the possibility that you're going to have thousands of people coming into town doing this, and in the middle of a pandemic, like, it's just not a good idea this time. So I don't know how many people are going to come, but that's the frustration, not the game itself.
Another story that, you know, continues to create headlines is that, you know, NBA players are reportedly skeptical of getting the vaccine, so much so that the NBA is having, medical professionals, sit down on Zoom with entire teams to try to convince them that this is safe, this is smart, this is what you ought to do. Are you surprised that this has become such a big issue within the NBA?
No, I actually wrote a story as we got to the end of the college football season about kind of what's next for college football and what 2021 was going to be like. And one of the big issues that I found just in calling around to people was how they were going to convince their athletes, their football players, and maybe to a lesser extent basketball players and other sports to get the vaccine when it becomes available. And obviously younger people, college students are at the back of the line, but coming up some point in the spring, early summer, it will be available to them, and the schools, and in the NBA's case, the NBA franchises are going to want them to take it because it just sort of eliminates a lot of the potential hassles and protocols, and obviously the possibility of people getting sick. And yet, there is a skepticism about vaccines that is more prevalent in the African American community, and the reasons for that are rooted in history, and they are valid, and yet it's a real conundrum, because if people don't take it, then they're going to have to probably be subjected to different protocols than people who do take it. And when you're trying to manage a sports organization, that creates some complications. So I do think that the NBA is going to have to work hard to get people to buy in, and obviously it's not going to be 100%. But I think at this point, really, the best they can do is try to educate and get people in there with expertise to make the case for why it's safe. And instead of having, a lot of their skepticism is rooted in this cultural history, but it's also sometimes rooted in things that people see on Snapchat or on YouTube or on Facebook that has no basis in reality at all. And it's sort of trying to combat that misinformation, I think, is as big of a chore as anything.
Wrapping up here with Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Brooklyn Nets were on a big stage last night, TNT. They won again. No Kevin Durant, but Kyrie Irving and James Harden both played, and they've won five straight. They're now second in the East. Are you ready to consider Brooklyn as the biggest threat to the Lakers' quest to win back-to-back championships?
I think certainly it would be an interesting and fun final series. And, we'll see long-term, like, what Anthony Davis's health situation looks like, because he's out for a while, and that can be a tricky type of injury. And, you given the fact that they played deep into last season in the bubble, like, there could be an injury toll for that team that compromises their chances, and then, it's kind of wide open. I still think the Clippers, by the end, will be a big threat to the Lakers, and maybe the biggest, but certainly Brooklyn, like offensively, they have not only been everything that the numbers suggest they should be, but James Harden has done a good job of kind of taking a back seat is maybe the wrong way to put it, but he has certainly sacrificed his own numbers and shots and ability to handle the ball. And, you know, if he's willing to accept that role throughout the entire run here, that certainly, I think, makes them – it eliminates the kind of drama of who's going to have the ball at the end of games thing that we maybe speculated early on that they might struggle with.
That is Dan Walken from USA Today. Make sure you read them, usatoday.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Dan Walken. Thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right, man. See you.
We'll see you. That's Dan Walken from USA Today. When we come back, Grizzlies back inside FedEx Forum tonight. Pistons are in town trying to get above 500. We'll talk about it next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Imagine feeling the freedom of 20/20 vision without the hassle of foggy glasses and contacts. Well, thanks to the LASIK Vision Institute, that freedom could be yours. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way. At the LASIK Vision Institute, we're offering dramatically low prices, as low as $220 per eye, plus affordable financing. Go to LASIK.com and see if LASIK is right for you. The LASIK Vision Institute offers the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology, and our expert medical teams have performed over 1.3 million procedures. Technology and experience all more affordable than you might imagine. Go to LASIK.com today to schedule your free consultation and start feeling the freedom of better vision. That's LASIK.com. Individual results vary. $220 per eye price available based on prescription. Go to LASIK.com for details. Patients age 40 and over will likely experience the need for reading glasses.
Hockey and basketball fans love scoring in nets. But what else do they have in common? A chance for an easy 100 from BetMGM. Register for the King of Sportsbooks and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 money line wager on the Grizzlies Pistons game. And if the team you bet on hits a three, you'll win. Simply sign up using bonus code RIGHT100, WRIGHT100, when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Maybe you have more in common with table tennis fans. No matter your sport, BetMGM is where the stakes are always raised. Enjoy innovative parlay selection features, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code RIGHT100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on either the Grizzlies or the Pistons to hit a three. You must be 21 years or older, and you must be present in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No. Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in security.
All 75 months at 3.04%. Mirage MH002682, MSRP 16865, G4 MHF 01572, MSRP 18360, Outlander Sport MU004915, MSRP 24740. Includes all rebates and incentives. PF 695 excludes tax title and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through end of the month. Dealer stock only.
Ready, set, start your new year with a new ride from Gossett Mitsubishi on Covington Pike. Get the hatchback hero in 2021 Mirage, 12,342 or 129 a month. 2021 Mitsubishi Mirage G4, 41 mpg highway, 13,997 or 149 a month. And jumpstart your journey in 2021 Outlander Sport, 17,938 or 199 a month. And these are not leases. You own your new ride. Plus, you get Mitsubishi's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain lease
limited warranty. That's Gus at Mitsubishi, 1870 Covington Pike, or shop online at memphismitsubishi.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gus at Motor Cars.
Guys, breakfast.
How do you do it?
The kids or everything else?
Hey, are those...
new phones? Got two truly unlimited lines from Walmart Family Mobile. Tea's ready. With no contract. Pass the toast. Makes me feel like I'm a step ahead.
You are amazing.
And your boss is calling.
Get two truly unlimited lines with 30 gigabyte hotspot per line for under $75 a month. Powered by T-Mobile. Walmart Family Mobile. Stay a step ahead. HD video streaming up to 720p. See terms and conditions at myfamilymobile.com. Available at Walmart.
Wendy's is dropping the hammer with two made-to-order breakfast sandwiches for just $4. So if you've been wronged by pre-made breakfast and their frozen folded eggs and rubbery microwaved bacon, get to Wendy's and get the breakfast you deserve. Like the honey butter chicken biscuit, classic bacon egg and cheese, and the classic sausage egg and cheese. Choose any two of them for just $4. Justice is served. Only at Wendy's. We got you.
Offer valid for a limited time only. Price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. Single item.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
God killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger. Tell me as a Bob that the God don't need a job. And if I did, the oligarchs would be missing, murdered, and wrong. This is Bonaparte, and he paid with Tucson. And they went on a world conquest, tearing your Bonaparte. Michael remained murderous. But still virtuous. Wait to kill the petty you found at the church services. Not a holy man, but a moral in my perversion. So I support the sex workers unionizing their services.
You look for the biggest brands in computers? If so, the place to look is Cooper Systems, Mount Moriah Office Park. They got Dell, HP, Lenovo, Asus, Apple. They got Apple. You probably get an Apple product at Cooper Systems easier than you get one at an Apple store these days. Definitely at a fraction of the price. So if you're looking for Apple products, make sure to check with Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park. They got the biggest savings on the biggest names in computers. Give them a call, 360-9679. 360-9679. Talk to Lee Cooper. Talk to Lauren Cooper. You can talk to any of the consultants at Cooper Systems. Tell them what it is you're going to be using a computer to do. Like, are you a gamer? That's an expensive computer. They got them. But that's like a computer you need if you're a gamer. Not if you're just somebody playing around on Facebook and YouTube. That's a different computer, a much less expensive computer. So you tell them what it is you're going to be doing. They'll find a computer that's perfectly suited for you. If it's perfectly suited for you, it's going to be better price for you. If it's better price for you, you're saving money. Who doesn't like to save money? You can do it at Cooper Systems. 360-9679, 360-9679. It's Cooper Systems on the web, coopersystems.com. Jeff Calkins is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Game 25 of the Grizzly season is tonight. Tipping off in a little more than 2 hours. You'll be able to listen right here. 92.9 FM ESPN. Jessica Benson have pregame at 6:30. Eric Hasseltine on the call at 7. It's Pistons-Grizzlies. And these odds makers, Big Bit Bennett.
What's going on?
They have listed the Grizzlies. I told you yesterday that 538 had the Grizzlies projected as a 7.5-point favorite.
Mm-hmm.
These odds makers have only made the Grizzlies a 4.5-point favorite. That's disrespectful.
That's interesting. 4.5.
The Pistons are 8-20. They stink.
They are. Now, they're a weird, weird team. Like, they're 8 wins, they're all against good teams. They have beaten, like, the Lakers, the Nets, the Bucks. Like, they've got good wins, but they've only got 8 of them.
4.5 that line's too little.
I think it's probably too little, but I'm just worried about the sneaky Pistons. I wonder if maybe the odds makers know something we don't.
They don't know anything, Big Bit Bennett.
Okay.
They don't know anything.
All right, we're going to go
let me tell you what I know. Right. I know John Morant just had a triple-double a couple nights ago.
That's true.
That's what I know. I know Kyle Anderson is playing the best basketball of his professional life. That's what I know.
That's right.
What else do you think I know?
The Jonas Valanciunas is a double-double machine.
He's a double-double machine. How are you going to make the Grizzlies only a 4.5-point favorite over an 8-20 team that when the Grizzlies have a double-double machine in the middle?
Yeah, I don't know about all that. I think we're going to hammer Grizzlies minus 4.5.
I think a half, maybe buy it down to 4, just to be careful, to be careful.
That's fine. Okay.
I'm playing it.
NBA game.
I'm playing it, Bennett, in all seriousness. I'm so glad we didn't have to go through some long rebuild the core four.
Like that team coming in right now, could you imagine? How do you talk about it? Do you talk about if you're like if they're in Detroit? Now, obviously, Detroit has other pro franchises and stuff like that. But let's just say they just had the Pistons. Like, how do you do like a sports talk radio show?
Oh well, I mean, like to your point, you talk about Jared Goff and Matt Stafford, right?
Right. Of course.
You talk about the Tigers getting ready to start spring training. You talk about Michigan basketball being great, Michigan State basketball being bad. Like, trust me, there's a lot more going on in Detroit
than there is in Memphis.
If it was Memphis, it'd be rough.
That was us and we had a team like that, like, dude, how do you talk about them?
Yeah, it's tough. And it's tough on the fan base. You know, like, I was never, you know, anti-tanking, in the year before the Grizzlies drafted Jaren Jackson Jr. In fact, I was pro-tanking strictly because I thought it could do something like add Jaren Jackson Jr. It worked. Anybody who ever tells you it didn't is a liar. It worked. Even the people who didn't enjoy the tanking have to acknowledge it was effective and the best use of the rest of that season after injuries ripped away any realistic chance of going to the playoffs. But I'm glad we don't have to go through that for an extended period of time because, like tonight, I'm looking forward to watching the Grizzlies play because this game matters.
Yes.
Because they are 500 through 24 games. They're one game behind the Nuggets right now for eighth in the West. They are a game ahead of the Mavericks in the standings. Like, this is a meaningful game. Now, if it was just the Grizzlies Pistons and it was the 13th in the West and last in the East, like, I just, you know, probably watch Dateline or something. But you got a meaningful game. Like, we have meaningful games. We went through that long stretch with the core four where almost without exception for many, many, many years, the Grizzlies were playing meaningful games every night.
Yep.
It didn't mean you had to pay attention to every one if you didn't want to, but it, like, meant something. Right now, these games in Detroit, they don't mean anything. These games Cleveland Cavaliers are playing, they don't mean anything. These games the Timberwolves are playing, the Thunder are playing, they don't mean anything. And that's just – it's not fun.
No.
Tonight, if you're a Grizzlies fan, you got something to look forward to. You snowed in. You're not going anywhere. You can watch the Grizzlies play a meaningful basketball game. So whether they cover 4.5 or not, win or not, we're 2 hours, 10 minutes away from watching the Grizzlies play a meaningful basketball game. And I am that shouldn't be taken for granted, and I am thankful for it.
Story number 2.
NCAA announced earlier today that they are going to allow fans at the NCAA tournament. Now, this is not a surprise because the NCAA, they're all about money, and you can make money by allowing fans. So whatever local health officials will allow you in the state of Indiana, whatever they'll allow you to do, that's always what they were going to do. So it's going to be 25% capacity at whatever venue. So when they're at Assembly Hall on Indiana's campus, it's 25% of that. When they're at Bankers Life in downtown Indianapolis, it's 25% of that. When they're at Lucas Oil, the Dome, for the Final Four, it's 25% of that, which actually comes to around 18,000 people. And so, as this was announced earlier today, and I knew I was going to have to talk about it at the very least on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, it's like, okay, what do you say? How do you feel? And the truth is, if you're ranting and raving about this right now, like the people who, take COVID super serious will, cheerlead you, and everybody else will tell you to stop, hiding under your bed, right? Like the reactions are, we've been doing this for nearly a year now. The reactions are pretty much set in stone. And when you consider that we did have people at the World Series and we did have fans at the Super Bowl, I don't know what ground I'd be on to be able to scream you shouldn't have fans at the Final Four. Like, if you had fans at the Super Bowl and you had fans at the World Series, why can't you have fans at the Final Four? So, fine, have fans at the Final Four. But I will say, downtown Indianapolis is a pretty compact place. I don't know how many of you listening have been there, but, like, Indianapolis is a nice city, But everything you're going to do in Indianapolis is within four blocks of each other. It's precisely why Indianapolis is such an amazing place to host a big event, because it's not spread out at all. Like, if you go to a Final Four in Houston, you can walk out of your hotel. It does not even feel like you're at the Final Four, because you're staying here. Downtown's there. The Dome is way over here. Same thing in Dallas. You do a Final Four in Dallas, doesn't feel like a big event. You're staying here. The Dome's way out there. You know, it just everything's spread out. In Indianapolis, everything is on top of each other. Every hotel is right next to each other. The Dome and Bankers Life are both right there. All the bars and restaurants are right there. When you get to Indianapolis for a Final Four, you park your car, if you took a car, or you take an Uber from the airport to your hotel, and you never get back in a car again. You can walk everywhere you need to walk. That is what makes it great. Now, what that means is you're going to have 17,000, 18,000 people jam-packed in a compact downtown Indianapolis for the Final Four. Like, I'm confident that the NCAA will have it all spaced out to reasonable measures inside the Dome. But what do you do with 18,000 people walking around a jam-packed downtown Indianapolis on a Saturday afternoon, on a Monday night? Like, again, it is what it is at this point. But to me, the problem isn't, if to the extent that there might be a problem, it's not what having 18,000 people socially distanced inside of a dome might create. It's what having 18,000 people in a compact downtown walking around before the game, after the game, being all around each other. Like, I'm just telling you, they're not going to be 18,000 people socially distanced outside in Indianapolis, downtown Indianapolis, 1 hour before the Final Four starts. I can take pictures and send them to you as I walk to the dome, 2 hours before the Final Four. So to me, that's the issue. But again, it is what it is. So I'll just keep my fingers crossed. I don't even care. I'll be fully vaccinated by then. Why do I care? But so too many people, this is my point, are focusing on what it's going to be like in the dome. I think the real issue is what it's going to be outside of the dome leading up to and after these games, because you've got 18,000 people in a relatively small and compact downtown Indianapolis.
Story number three.
Jalen Johnson left the Duke program earlier this week, and it's been a controversial topic within, I think, sports, but especially college basketball. Some people saying he merely opted out and is protecting his investment, or others saying that he just quit. Jim Boeheim, the Hall of Fame coach at Syracuse, decided to weigh in on it last night, and here's what he said. That guy was hurting them, so they actually are much better now without him. He was just doing some things and keeping other people from playing that are good. They've had two monster wins since he opted out, end quote. So this is the second year in a row somebody has left a program, and Jim Boeheim publicly on the record just blast him. Last year it was James Akinjo, who left Georgetown to go to Arizona, and now it is Jalen Johnson, who just left the team in the middle of the season. And we touched on this a little bit earlier in the week. I didn't spend much time on it because I think the news broke while we were live on the air, and I just sort of touched on it. And then by the next day, it felt too old and whatever. But, you know, I've subsequently been asked, like, what do you think about Jalen Johnson? And because, you know, there's two school of thoughts here. Either he quit or he just is doing what's best for Jalen Johnson, and anybody criticizing him is out of line. And I will say, I respect people who actually opt out of sports during a pandemic. Marcus Stroman, who was a starting pitcher for the Mets, decided in advance of last season, in the middle of a pandemic, he didn't want to play. Wasn't comfortable playing with the travel, with the protocols, and he just said, I'm opting out of the season. And you will not find a tweet from me saying Marcus Stroman is a quitter. Because he didn't quit. He never started. He considered what it would be like to play professional baseball in the middle of a pandemic and decided that season he didn't want to do it. Now, he is going to play this season. But last season, he decided well in advance he didn't want to do it. And I respected that. Avery Bradley was a member of the Lakers, decided he didn't want to go to the bubble to resume last season because he had a young child at home with underlying medical conditions and just didn't feel comfortable about playing a contact sport in the middle of a pandemic. So he said, you know, I'm weighing the pros and cons, and looks like there's more cons than pros, at least in my opinion. I'm going to opt out of this. I'm not going to go to the bubble. I'm not going to be a part of this team. I respected that. He was given options. He considered all options, and he decided to go one way. That is not what Jalen Johnson did. Like that, that's opting out. Jalen Johnson didn't opt out. He quit in the middle of a season after playing a season-low 8 minutes. Things were not going well for him, so he quit. I mean, it's as simple as that. And I've heard people say, well, you know, it's his right to quit. I don't even know why people say that. Well, of course, who's arguing it's not his right to quit? He wasn't bound to play college basketball forever or even for one more minute. Of course it's in his right to quit. But he didn't quit. Let's just call it what it was. I mean, well, it's his right. Okay, dummy. Like, who's arguing it's not his right? Of course it's his. Yes, he can quit playing college basketball if he wants to right in the middle of a season. Literally anybody can. But let's call it what it is. Let's don't pretend he's opting out because of the pandemic. He's not. He was perfectly happy playing in the middle of a pandemic when he's playing 32 minutes a game. And let's not pretend he opted out because of some injury. That's the other one. Well, he's got this foot issue. Yeah, he played Saturday. He was healthy enough to play on Saturday. So how serious is the foot issue? Not serious at all. You know what he quit for? He couldn't get along with his teammates, couldn't get along with his coaching staff, got put in the doghouse and played 8 minutes on Saturday, and he said, enough for this, I'm out. Which, again, within his rights, but let's call it what it was. He quit. He quit. Now, if he would have made that decision before the season even started, like I said, I'm just not going to play college basketball in the middle of a pandemic. I'll just train for the next year and then enter the 2021 NBA draft. You wouldn't have heard a word from me or anybody else. That's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. If he wanted to go to the G League, fine with me. Wanted to go to Australia to spend a year playing professional basketball before he joined the NBA like LaMelo Ball, fine with me. Sensible. All that makes sense. But that's not what he did. He quit. He enrolled at a school. He joined a team.